So as I was correct, it's in Sefer Ikvei Hatzon, Shef Shalita, and the title of the piece is Be'inyan Megillas Tanis. It's Simon Yutes. It's certainly, how should I say, recommended reading. And it begins with the Gemara Rosh Hashanah we spoke about. Vodla Megillas Tanis or not. And the Gemara wants to know, what about Chanukah? So Rashi says, it must have been Farsim Nisa, for Golu Lakol Yisrael, they should know about Mitzvahs and Mitzvahs, and Zikabok and Shal Torah. Lanocha Levatlo. So Rav Shech the Shalita asked the following question. If you hold Batla Megillas Tainas, it's an Isser to keep a Yontif after Churban HaBayis. If we thought it's right, so be Perish, quoted by the Chassam Sofer. And don't tell me the pshat. So I sort of told you pshat. What is it? You won the battle but lost the war, right? My marshal I gave you. Well, if someone in the Confederacy is celebrating some victory in the Civil War, but they lost the war, so it's pointless to have to establish. So Rav Shech, it's much more than that. Why? Because the Gemara has a Masechta Rosh Hashanah and Afyut Chesim and Beis. At the end, a few lines later. Kamaisa beat bottle achronaisa mosifin. If you hold bottle of Megillas Tainis, you're not going to make a new yontif about Yeshua. So Rav Shech asks, why? Let's say, the Confederacy, they won a battle in Civil War, so that they're not going to celebrate they lost the war. Now, something new is going to happen. There'll be a fight down there in the South against the Mexicans, I don't know, and the South will win. I don't know. The opposite of the Alamo, I don't know. So the South will win or whatever it may be. So why can't they celebrate that? That's not forgotten. All their victories will prove to be Pyrrhic victories. Right? They won the battle but lost the war. But now the war's over, and now they have new problems, and they're saved from the new problems. So why shouldn't they be able to establish a yontif? If it's just a matter that they you follow me? It's just a matter they forgot the old victories, but this is a new victory. So why should they have to celebrate that? Oh. So, must be, the Batla Megillas Tainis is a din. Because the Gemara says, Bizman she'e shalom yulusas l'simcha, ein shalom tzom. That's a famous Gemara, that Tzom or Avi, etc. Yil beis Yehuda l'sas l'simcha l'madim tovim. So the Gemara has their different levels. Sometimes it could be tzom, sometimes it could be madim tovim, sometimes it could be in the rotzim masanim, rotzim ein masanim, famous Gemara. So the din is as follows. So with the chiyuv tzom, when there's what we call malchus, what is the chiyuv yontif, when is it called shalom, and in between, so then it's rotsu masan and rotsu nan. That's how local lemais today. The Shulchan Aruch writes next Friday the Asara B'Tapes. So it says, technically speaking, it's a rishus. We have to fully keep it as a chova. But technically speaking, it's a rishus. Oh. What's it all about? So he explains that it was an amazing event that took place. We had the Chanukah Sabbais first time around, Tam Shlomo HaMelech, that they actually ate in Yom Kippur. That's called quite a chiddush. They had a kavachomer. It has to do with actually with today's Kriyas HaTorah, right? The Chanukah Sanasim. Right? Today's those Chanukah Sanasim. So this was not just a Nevuah or Shah, but rather was a Din Daraisa. You have to make a Yontif, Bisman Chanukah Sanmikdash. So it's very appropriate to discuss it today. We read about many of the last Nasim, and those Chanukah Sanasim. Also, it's a real Din Daraisa. And in fact, they brought Miluim in time of Ezra, the Ring Lars of Lava. That's quotes a Malbim in Yecheskel, and he quotes the Ramban and the Parshas Noso. Okay, and he quotes on the bottom to look, I put it back already, to look in the footnotes of Rav Shavel, who quotes the Ramban and Sefer Mitzvahs, and says at the bottom, it's a horror from Rav Yaakov Neuburger Sheikhia. This year, like Neuburger gets into the act also, this beautiful Devar Torah. This is an okay. So what's the pshat, Rabbosai? Pshat is as follows. It's not an inim bal tosif if you make a yomtiv which connects to Chanukah Samigdash. That's a din d'oraisa to Rav. This is, it's going to break the Ramban we spoke about yesterday. The Ramban says in Parashas Voschana, Perek Dalet Pasuk Beis, HaChodesh HaShabbat Milibo, like Rav HaMenavot is bal tosif. But if it's not about Tosif, it's based on the d'oraisa. We spoke yesterday about Mimbo Vazachayim Amar Mashira. That's one kind of a din. Now there's another kind of a din. Chanukah Samikdash itself is a din d'oraisa. Okay? So all the Yom Tov and Megillah's times, you look it up, Megillah's times, have to do the Mikdash. They fix the Mikdash, they fix the Avoda, they fix the Bayis, they show me the Mikdash, the stone that were overcome. They're all connected to the Beis HaMikdash. Memela, Botla, Chorba Bayis, Botla Megillas Tainis. Now some of Avelis in the Chorban. There's no Simchas on Binyan Bayis. It was destroyed. I mean, for that very same reason, after the Zman HaChorban, none of Binyan Bayis is about Tosif. You have no right to make a new Yontif. Hi, Rabosai, we spoke about before, the Mogan Avram, the Miri. You make a new Yontif. Okay? That's for Yechidim. Yechidim, communities. But for a Bezin to make a Yomtiv for the all of Klal Yisrael, it needs a Bal Tosif, unless it's connected to Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's a Meshechus Chiddush Nifla Menor. If one has your question, but let me give this tightness, so what about Chanukah? That's what comes to. Yes?
So before the Chorban, why wasn't it Bal Tosif all these days that they were celebrating?
Because they were extensions of the din d'oraisa of making a yomtiv for Chanukah Samikdash. So the extension is you make a yomtiv when the mikdash is saved from the enemy, or when the mikdash is repaired, or the mikdash. It's like it's an extension. The same as if we had the nitziv. What did the nitziv say? You have to make a yomtiv in Ravos L'chaim, right? So that's on the day of the Geula, so the subsequent years is an extension. Okay? Fine. So the question becomes, what about Chanukah? So Chanukah, Rashi said, it's not lo nochal levat because of mefaras and misa. What's that mean? It's a shalav d'oraisa. Quotes the Ramban over here in Parshas Voschana. After a long discussion, he comes up to the following amazing kiddush. What about Purim? Purim was Golos Bavel. How can I make a yontif at that time? It's impossible. So he explains as follows. He quotes in the Sivis, in the Gilas Esther, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Tes. That the Chachamim understood then to be an Aschal to the Geula. That from the Nes Purim will come the Binyan by Hashem. Oh, that you can already make a yontif. Because by Hashem. And that's exactly what happened. If you look in Rashi, the first Pasuk in Chagai, says there from the Medrash, that Dayavish HaMelech, who was after Achashverosh, who was Esther HaMalka's son, he is the one who gave Nehemiah the permission to build the Bayis Sheni. There you go. Amazing. He quotes a Malbim in Nehemiah, Perek Beis Pasuk Vav, that what does it mean? Is the Malbim? It means the mother of the king, Esther. Esther is the one who pushed the son to help Nehemiah to build the Beis HaMikdash. Wow, it's amazing. Esther HaMalka, we only know about her from after she disappears from the stage as soon as we finish the last Raga on Purim. No, she's still on the stage of history. According to this Malbim, in Nehemiah Perek Beis Pasuk Vav, she guarantees the Binyan Bayis Sheni many years later. That's incredible. Now, if that's the case, what do we do with Chanukah? We're still stuck. Come to the end of the Maimar Rabosai. This is Os Ches, the eighth and final. Ches, the eighth day of Chanukah. Os Ches and Rav Shech, the Shlita's Maimar. Eighth and last, right? There must be some symbolism over here. What's Chanukah? Look at the rights. B'tchilas, the Bayesheni, the Chachamim knew that it's going to be Chorev. Pasuk is it Shir Shir? Im Chomehi Nivna Le'atiras Kosa. im delasi natzol aluach oras. If you'll all go up together, there'll be no rekev, like metal. Now you went up just a little bit. It's like eight eres, the rekev is shoulders, yuma daf tesev at base. Okay? One, the bias will become chorek. And two, it's not going to be a much, won't be so great. It was not as we spoke about already in previous shir. Chaim Brisker. It wasn't the same as Bias Rishon. Oh, this is the again the whole shtickle of Rav Chaim is found over here on page Kuf Tetzvav. The Navi didn't know what's going on over here. There was very few things in the Bias Sheni. It was Yumadav Ches, Yumadav Tes. It was tough times. So the Navi said, Moel Adoni. Give the next page as a little. This is all quotes from the Rav. I thought they were Rav Chaim. No, I'm sorry. He quotes this from the Kedusha Gris al Tanakh, B'Shem Agraf. That's what I had quoted from Chaim, the whole piece over here. That being the case, he says the following shot. Chagai says, Godol yekvod ha-bayis hazeh achron min harishon. Doesn't mean the bayis achron, the second base of Mikdash. No. The second base of Mikdash is the yesod, as he puts it, is the foundation for the third base of Mikdash. And what's the proof? Neis Chanukah. Neis Chanukah. Quote, Shekol en yonei avay sheni afki nirim kichaseim shechina v'ruach ha-kodesh heim ascholo len yonei manifloim ha-masirim shiyu ba-osim v'vay shlishi. And he quotes, as I said before, he quotes from the Ma'orei Naim in Parshat Miketz. Harach ninel em shichi. Neis Chanukah zeremez v'achonu limosa Mashiach. And he quotes a Rashi in Zechariah that he quoted earlier. Oh, now we understand that the entire Kriyas Yontov of Chanukah is because of the Binyan Bayis Sheni La'asid. Right? Purim is Binyan Bayis Sheni of that time. And in Chashmonoim, based on the Bayis HaShlishi, based on the Nevuah Zechariah, they knew this whole remez, this whole nes, the whole Neiros Zechariah, we say Neiros Zechariah, that's exactly the Haftarah for Shabbos Chanukah. Obviously it's referring to the that whole parsha, and it's referring to the Bayis Shlishi called the Chaim's Shat. Memela, Churban Bayis Sheni can be Mevatel the Chanukah. No, it's fundamentally for Bayis Shlishi. What a remarkable interpretation. So remember Rabbi Shechter Shalit is speaking about what we spoke about yesterday, about establishing a Yom Tov on the fifth day of year. You know what? That requires a future-oriented emuna, that what happened at that day in Heyir is somehow connected some way or other to the future events of the Binyan Abayis, of the time of Mashiach. On what basis can we say that? So he was fond of quoting a Mogen Avraham in Hilchas Kriya. I think it's, I don't have a Mishnah Berurah in front of me, I think it's Simon Tough Kuf Samach, perhaps, around there. We're told about you have to rip your clothes when you see the Ori Yehuda Bechurbanon. Says the Mogen Avraham, what's Bechurbanon? When in the hands of Goyim, they're in the hands of Jews, they're Bebinyon. So you would not make these brachas if you see the Ari Yehuda today under the hands of the Jewish soldiers, you wouldn't rip Kriya anymore. But in the olden days, if you would see it in the hands of the Goyim, you would rip Kriya. So the definition of Churban and Geula, according to the Magen Avraham, is who was in military control. So therefore, on that particular day, when the British left and the infant state of Israel took over officially, declared independence, that at that very moment Eretz Yisrael changed halachically, not just politically, halachically, from a state of Churban to a state of Geula. And therefore, it presumably has a status of leading up to the Beis HaMikdash. If you look carefully over here, ask a good question. Who says? We can predict the future. What right do we have to predict the future? We've had so many ups and downs in the history of Am Yisrael. What right do we have to say that somehow this particular event is going to be a step in that direction? Maybe not. How do you know? Oh. So let me add what I want to say. In Eicha, there are two psukim which are said by Nevuah by Yirmiyahu. The last two psukim of Parak Dalet. Sisi v'simchi bas Edom. Edom is by Hasheni. Says Rashi, it's not by Yirmiyahu al-Churban by Hasheni. Sheach rivu ramim. Can you imagine that? Of the whole long Eicha about Churban by Hasheni, we put two psukim up to about Churban by Hasheni. Okay? And what does the next pasuk say? Tam avonech bastiyam. When tam? Not after churban bayis rishon. No, after churban bayis sheni. Lo yosif lahaglosech. What does that mean? Migolos edom ulahalon od. That's going to be the last golos. It's only going to be two golos, not more than that. Memela, it stands to reason. That once that golos comes to an official end, there's not going to be a third golos. So once Eretz Yisrael v'binyano became independent on that day, we have a right to believe, based upon Amari Chazal and his psukim, that there's not going to be a time when Chas v'chalila v'chalila v'chas is going to be a reversal to the extent that chalila v'chalila, that there'll be a churban aretz and will revert chalila to the hands of our enemies in Machshema. Chas v'shal don't even think such a thing. But you know, we don't want to consider it politically, but what about based on Mamari Chazal? This, I believe, is the Maimah Chazal. The Ramban writes the Chumash, there are only going to be two tochachos for the two Churban. It's not going to be a third Churban. So therefore, once we reach this level of Geula, which is, you know, the level of going from Churban to Binyana, so we assume it's a stepping stone somewhere along a long, long process leading to the ultimate Binyana Mikdash. So it can, in fact, be a Yom Tov. If you look in the Gemara Sanhedrin of Tzadik Hes, it says there that the blooming and the flowering of the desert is itself a Enlecha Ketz V'gula Mizeh. But that's the question of whether there's a reversal on that. Unfortunately, we just said how many million trees just burned down? 5 million? 10 million? A Shrek. You know how many people collected pushkas for the JNF over how many decades just to get this done? Could you imagine? Shem Yerachem. There was a partial reverse, but at least this does. So there are another more tens of millions of other trees, Baruch Hashem in Eretz, which was once completely barren 120 years ago. There's nothing there. So it was a major event. Yes, sir?
A lot of the events in Megillas Tanis are basically like things where they drove out enemies.
That's correct. They threatened the base of Megillas.
They defeated the Tzedukim.
They threatened the base of Megillas from a halachic perspective. It's all based on Migdash related. So I remember Rav Shechtel once suggested, he's not so convinced that the Yom Yerushalayim has the same status. Because Yom Yerushalayim, how do we know they're going to be holding on to Yerushalayim straight from now till the Binyan Abayis? He was a little bit more hesitant about that. Of course, that is an interesting question over here. These are from the perspective of Yom Tovim, which connect to the base of Migdash. That's where this whole shtickle Torah exists. What about Yomim Tovim of Mimavas L'chaim? Mimavas L'chaim. Forget Beis HaMikdash. It can happen if Ali Yidin would be located in Bavel or in who knows where, and it was Knufi to call Yisrael, so it does not look Beis HaMikdash. That's a separate thing completely. Is that also subject to the Butler Megillas Tainus? I'm not so sure if that's really the case, if it's at such a high level. So it's another possible explanation of the Yom Yerushalayim celebration. It was pushed by Mavas L'chaim because they wanted to kill us. But again, I just want to briefly go over these inyanim, because number one, today is Zos Chanukah. Number two, I was asked a question about the Megillas Tainus. And number three, I love to quote Rabbi Shechter Shlita, especially Rabbi Neuberger Shlita, is also mentioned in the same page. So, okay. Now, I said today we're going to spend our time talk about Shalom Bais. We mentioned the only thing which can trump Ner Chanukah is Ner Shabbos, but Shalom Bais Oder. I wanted to spend some time with you. We already spoke about Shidduchim. I'm not sure if you were there. I spoke about it. I spoke about it in the Beis Medrash. It was Tuesday night, Parshas Vayera. I think it was Parshas Vayera. I'm quite sure. So I jumped the gun a little bit and spoke about the various sources of Parshas Chayisara. Who was that little shmooz? Apparently it worked because it enabled a Shabbaton to be successful. As a matter of fact, anyone's interested in Shabbaton, speak to me. I'll get you registered if you're interested. Okay, it's an important mitzvah to make shidduch. And there I spoke. You probably get it in one of those haunts. That's probably on YU Torah. I don't know what they call it these days. About the importance of what you're looking for in a shidduch in terms of looking for the midah of chesed, which is mefurish in the pesukim, and the midah of tznius, as for the kliyoker and parshas chay sarah barichas. Today, I want to begin with you a series, and how long the series is going to be, based on the hadrach of the chasanim of Rav Volba Zechrona Lerach, which is printed in rather primitive form in old-fashioned stencil form, but it is a very important issue. And you'll say, why am I talking to chasanim? Chasanim are not everybody is a chasan. Some people are already married. Some are engaged. Some are not going out yet. The answer is the malach shavei masak. Talmidim are my shia now. Now's when I can talk to you. And if you somehow leave the yeshiva when you're not in the state of a chasan yet, it happened to the best of them. But at least you'll remember back and you check your notes that what we learned in this series. To understand the importance of treating a wife properly. Let me begin anecdotally. I happen to be a member of the group called the Shalom Task Force. The Shalom Task Force was founded some years back because of the terrible, terrible scandal of, I'll say it straightforwardly, wife beating. Now, there's the new word of use has taken on new meanings, which are all meaningful, but everyone has to know, put things in perspective. That is emotional abuse, financial abuse, verbal abuse, which are all terrible. We'll be discussing them. It was originally founded because of simple physical abuse, called battering. Now, most men are stronger than most women. Most. You never know, everybody said, watch out. But most men are stronger than most women. And therefore, sometimes a man, if he wants to get his way, Chas v'chalila v'chalila v'chas can strike his wife. I've received, unfortunately, calls from women who have been beaten by their husbands. And yes, unfortunately, the time that the woman is most exposed is when she goes to the mikveh. And she goes to the mikveh, she can't cover anything. And I've received calls from mikveh lady that, what does she do when she sees a woman is bruised, black and blue? She said, well, I fell down a flight of stairs. You know, they all know I bumped into the wall. And after a little bit, she says, this is impossible. She knows exactly what happened over here. So they have this Shalom Task Force exists. It's a kind of a hotline. And they advertise all over the media. It hurts to call us, but it hurts much more not to call us. That's their famous blurb. It's all over the place. But then call this number, and I get this phone call. So I was zeicher to be on this calling this. I don't know. Rabbi Sai, as the davar rishon, there's absolutely no hetar shebaolam for anybody to do such a thing. Chalila v'chalila v'chas. It's a terrible thing. Has it existed in Klal Yisrael over the generations? Sure, it existed, because men can't control themselves. The Marami Rutenberg writes, the Mordechai quotes it. That this is a terrible, terrible aveira. We have to punish someone who does it. He calls it a maisa hagoyim. That's what he calls it. Worse than someone who hits a stone on anybody else, because your own wife is you are accept upon yourself to cherish her. It's the opposite of cherish her. The first line in Ksuba, v'ano eflach ve'ezam v'okir. Okir means I'm going to cherish you. It's critical that every man. Listen to my voice now, understand that when a person is zeichah to have a wonderful wife, this is a blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be cherished. To be cherished. The Gemara Yevamos tells us that even a wife, to use a bad, we'll call her a shrew. I don't know, I'm not sure if that's an appropriate word. What kind of shrew? Whatever he said, she did fakert. She did the opposite. Famous story that's in the Gemara Yevamos that he asked for bean soup, she gave him vegetable soup and fakert. And the kids saw it, so the kids switched what their father said, and they got the right stuff. So he asked his son, what happened over here? And he told me, what are you... Abba, why must you suffer from Ima like this? And his famous response was, Dayenu shem begadlos esponenu umatzilos asona menachet. Even a marriage which is, we'll call it a technical marriage, a functional marriage, not a romantic and who knows, idyllic marriage. Still, imposes a chiyuv of hakaras hatov on a husband to a wife, for which they must be absolute loyalty, devotion, cherishing attitude, not chas v'chalida, anything of contempt, and certainly kavachomer, benoshu kavachomer, of any physical violence. And I say it to every group when I have a chance to say that, you know, sometimes a couple will come to the Rosh Hashiva, the Rav, and I know about it when I get these calls from these women, and they go to the Rosh Hashiva, to the Rav, and he doesn't know the girl, he never met her. Maybe he's just mistaken kedushin, he met her once under the chuppah for 5 minutes, and he picked up a thick veil that he couldn't hardly see through who she was. And therefore, when they come 5 years later with her bruises, whether they be physical bruises or emotional bruises, and they come to the Rav, he's very often, unfortunately, sympathetic to his student. After all, the student sat in the Shia for 3 years, and the woman he knew met for 3 minutes. So I'm giving you advance notice, Rabbi, to everyone in this room. Chalila v'chalila should come to it. That you're going to walk in here with your wife one day, and she's going to say certain things, and you're going to expect to get a sympathetic reception from me, because I know you for 3 years. I know for 3 minutes, you're wrong. Absolutely wrong. I will do everything in my power to protect your wife. That's my job. That's my job. And you should be aware of it. Don't do anything wrong, chalila v'chas, to your wife, that you won't want her to repeat in front of me. I'm going to take her side. I'm just telling you. Ain't no shemel kemas here. I'm telling you straightforwardly. If you say, why am I talking such crazy language? There's such a bunch of tzaddikim sitting in front of me. Because I've seen too many crazy things. Too many crazy things. Okay. That's just an introduction before we even get started. Okay? It feels it's important to me to make these critical statements. You know, we spend so much time learning Mishnah Brewers with Mogan Avrams, with Tosis, with Rans. We have to be a mensch. Let me tell you about, I would say it's about maybe 15 years ago, there was a group of Rabbonim got together in the Fifth Avenue Synagogue, the famous super fancy Manhattan synagogue, right? All right, they crossed the entire spectrum, from the most Hasidish to the most, we'll call it left wing. Everybody was there, and Rav Palm was the main speaker. This problem exists in all sectors of the Jewish community. You name it, it's there. And he gives a heartfelt speech. You have to take care of the women, and we have to hitting your wife is a terrible thing. For those who know Rav Palm, such an elderly man, such a gentle person, and he's saying it. Guy right behind me raises his hand. I was ready to go down to the floor. Rosh Hashiva! So be Michael Zayn. He said some in Yiddish. I forgot already. I think he was talking in English, but he's talking in Yiddish. Maybe he was in English. The problem is, I'm sure it's a tape of it. So maybe in the yeshiva, Vayu and Torah V'das, they should learn a little less Tzitzis and Nesivis, and a little more about how a man should treat his wife. So instead of getting upset, Rav Palm says, "Du hast recht. You're right. We're going to take more time now from now on." He said that on the spot. You're right. I'll tell you one more story about this. There was another such meeting. Only two meetings to my knowledge in history. The second meeting took place in downtown Manhattan, all the way down by Battery Park, all the way down by the bottom somewhere there. Where it was. This is maybe 5 years ago. I came late to that one. The first time I was on time, I was late. I was an emergency meeting of the Rabbanim. Late, but significantly late. I walk in, the place is in an uproar. One of the invited guests Very the Rav is so chashav. I love him so much that I'm not going to mention his name. I only over needs to lashon har. One of the greatest rabbinic leaders of our time. I really mean it, and I have the greatest respect for him, admiration, respect. A big Talmud Chacham and a big Yirei Shamayim and a big mensch who knows the world. It's not in a cocoon somewhere. He got up and I wasn't there, and apparently he said, "Well, we make such a big deal out of this. It hardly ever happens. It's never. It almost doesn't exist. We're making a mountain out of a molehill." And this, and then, and then someone says the women are at fault. And Mamish took he came to this meeting of this group and he bashed them basically. They were all just in a complete tizzy. What they do? They pulled out the movie. They had the video with them of Rabbi Palm from 8 years earlier, and they put it on. I said, "You're right. It happens, and it's terrible." So they were lugging this Rav Shlita up from a Rav that was by then Zatzal. This is a ma'aser. These two ma'aser, I'm sure I'm telling you, Rav Osei, that I'm a Rav Pam man over here. Not the other Rav was a. But in this case, I think he was incorrect, and I didn't hear it directly. I just know the place was in an uproar when I walked in late. Okay. Now I'm going to quote you from Rav Volba's sefer. Not a sefer, it's a kutras. But it's important to understand that it's a dialogue. It's a dialogue. So, you know, when a person gets married, it's completely different than yeshiva boys imagine. Completely different. What does that mean? How do you reach a level to understand what marriage means for a yeshiva bachur? He begins by quoting a Maamar Chazal: "Tov la gever ki yisa'ol menurav." Pasuk Koheles said Chazal, "Ol isha." Ol isha. As I mentioned before, you get married, you're accepting upon yourself an ol, a responsibility. So much so, if I may digress, I'm not going to be quoting Rav Volba straight. Obviously, that's just, you can read yourself. But there's a Rashi in Chumash. It's supposed to be Chumash and Rashi on Thursday. There's a Rashi in Chumash, one of the many Rashis that we didn't have a chance to talk about over the Thursday. I have to clap Al Chet, but I haven't spoken enough on Chumash as I thought I would, and I maybe even said I would in the Parsha, so Shavua, in Yonim. So we always try to learn another Mishnah Brewer or another Ram. We should have to do a little bit tshuva here. But there's a Rashi at the very end of Parshas Toldos. V'yigachas mochlas. What's mochlas? What's this mochlas? What's what kind of language is that? So the whole discussion, Chazal, it's not a Rashi, it's a Chazal, where we are taught that mochlas mashen mechilu. Because there were three individuals that did mochlim lo al also. Who are they? A chosin, a ger, and nismana parnes ala tzibu. So the Pchamish will let us in his Sichus Musar, what do the three have in common? They accept upon themselves responsibility. A ger, responsibility for tayyad mitzvahs. Parnes ala tzibu, responsibility for the community. And a chosin, responsibility for his wife. You accept responsibility, it's mechilas avonos. Because you're doing something which is very heroic. You're accepting an achrayas. Such an important thing. And therefore, he quotes a letter from the Chazon Ish. We spent Chacham Chazon Ish, Shinuchas Pesach, and HaGola, and Chometz, Chazon Ish, the Heilige Chazon Ish. Look, he writes in the letter. Teva Sheloh, Lehis Aneg Alchino Be'enov, Ve'elov Eineha Nesuos. A woman wants to find favor in her husband's eyes. And her eyes are lifted towards him, to see if she finds favor in his eyes. What does that mean? She puts on a nice dress, she's expecting a compliment. A new snood, a new compliment. He doesn't even notice it. Doesn't care if she's wearing a blue snood or a yellow snood or a green snood. It fits, if it doesn't fit, she is disappointed. She expects a compliment. Rabbi Sa'ad, some of us here are married, and some are engaged, and some are in the parasha, some not yet in the parasha. Whoever's been on a date knows that, you know, that the appropriate thing is a certain, you know, obviously tzniyas to go away, that after a while that it has to be complimentary. You don't say anything nice about the girl, it's just, oh, it's a sugar, a cold fish, it's ridiculous. I don't care if your computer date sheets look the same. It's irrelevancy. There's no chemistry. You have to say a nice thing. Well, I think that stops them thinking, okay, now I'm married already. Baruch Hashem. I'm married. I don't have to say anything nice about my wife anymore. She already agreed to marry me. Enough. Chas v'cholila. Chas v'cholila. She makes him a nice lunch. And she wants to do it the way he likes. He swallows it up. And he forgets what's in his mouth. And doesn't thank her or anything, she's disappointed. She fixes the house, she hangs a picture on the wall, puts a plant somewhere on the table, all for him. She's trying to make his house, right? He doesn't even see it. He thinks he's a big tzaddik, you know? Oh, he's a big masvid. Oh, he's talking about learning, and about the shtusim of the house. He's a rasha, Rabbi said. He's a rasha. A kfui tov. She is making the whole house for him, and he ignores her. Rachmana litzlan. If he's not interested in the house, which for her is, as Rav Shvola puts it, tochan chaya mamish, that's her life, from the small little things, is a complete pirud Hashem yishvarein mizem. You have to pay attention. Says the Talmud, it's a dialogue. Oy, 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 says to the mashgiach. Oy va boyle isha va gam le bala von putin kaelen token khaya, the small little things, a picture, a snood, a flower pot, a table, this is nothing. We only care about Torah. The mashkiach right answers the back to a bachum thing. He's looking for a chavrusa, and he can't teach a gemara. Something won't go into that right now. He's in his time and place, he couldn't teach a Gemara. He'll teach a Baal Machshava. Oh, you keep the halachas. He's like this. Forget about it. The halach, it says, a woman, the Chazal say so. The Chazal, when they say, use expressions, they don't mean it just as expressions. They mean you should be very careful about these expressions. The Gemara said that one of the Chachmei HaTalmud referred to his wife, not as Ishti, but as Basi. It's based on Pesukim and Chumash. Right? Chipe Bado Bad Basi. What does Chazal say in that Pesuk? Anyone know? Zuishto. There are differences between men and women. And this is written long before the Mars and the Venus and all the kind of things that people talk about nowadays. Men and women are different. They're not just different based on anatomy. They're different emotionally. They think differently. They're completely different. Men, for example, are always trying to be so logical, right? And there's a certain coldness in logic. Women are more emotional. If you're going to try to convince your wife, the way you're trying to convince a chavrusa that his pshat and Rashi is wrong, you're barking up the wrong tree. I'm so logical. Why don't you understand what I'm saying? The answer: she's made from different stuff. You can't talk logic all the time. You just can't. Just, Rabbi Osai, remember one thing. That's the way Hashem created the world. Finish. Don't complain about it. That's just the way it is. Your wife is not your chavrus. Sometimes it gets him angry. It's illogical. It bothers you. Give an example. You, at a certain time, have to leave the house. Guess what? She's not ready. She's not ready. I'm giving you a warning now for the week of your Sheva Brachos. I'm telling you right now. Now, don't write it down. You're going to get married. You're going to get married soon. You're going to get married, and you're going to have to go to Sheva Brachos the next day or the day after, and you're going to be ready to leave because you have people expecting you, right? You're not going to cause a conflict. And your wife, your new wife, will not be ready. I'm telling you now in advance. She will not be ready. Why? Well, she has this new shapel. She had for a while a shapel for her life. She's pashka with the shapel. Whatever the pashka rai. Remember, Rabosai, women are potter from mitzvah sasei shasman gerom. They cannot be held to a clock. Let me tell you what to do when you're waiting to go somewhere and your wife is late. Let me tell you what to do. I'm telling you from the personal experience. Don't pace the floor. Don't be impatient. Don't put your hat and coat on. No. Sit there in a chair. Take out the Parsha Shavua, Rabosai. And start from the beginning. Ready for the Kates is long, but it's not as long. And start going through the Parsha. Read the entire Parsha. You have all the Rashis. If you want to be Machman, do Targum. I hold Rashi is good enough. If that finishes, take out the Tehillim. By the time that Tehillim is finished, she'll be ready to go. Hopefully, she'll be ready to go after one Aliyah in the Parsha. But you have to be ready to sit there and be embarrassed by coming late to wherever you're coming, because you cannot embarrass your wife. Now, this is the reality. This is the reality. Now, this is the old Isha. Once you get married, you're accepting this, quote, burden upon yourself, which means all that seems to be strange to you and gets you upset. And this is how you have to do it, with patience. Patience, don't get angry. Don't ask for the change. What? So the Shibach asks. The husband has to always be mevater. He doesn't have to ask anything from his wife. Bold letters. Ooh. The guy goes back to the Mashkiach. Mashkiach answers. No. A woman does everything for her husband. She'll get used to his ways. She'll know what his likes are, what his dislikes are, what his strengths are, what his weaknesses. She'll know everything. A woman, it's part of her nature to acclimate herself to new situations. Not only that, but the woman wants the husband to be the, quote, Rav Bebeso. And then he should be the one to lead the house. She wants that. She wants that. It doesn't matter if she's smarter than you, because you guys may marry women who have a better IQ than you, higher IQ than you, who may be more advanced professionally than you. It doesn't make a difference. She could be an MD, and he could be a... I want to say what?
Plumber
is a higher madriga. But whatever he'll be a regular guy, you know, he's making a living, and she's an MD. She still wants him to be the Rav Abbas. She may be smarter than him and more advanced profession than him. That is the Teva Ha'isha. She wants him to be a Gavarabba. And you should say what you want. But of course, stay an opinion, and his iPhone is difficult, frankly, give an opinion on food and how the house should look. So my wife often asks, what should we do? Should we do things this way? Should we do things that way? And deep down, I don't know, but it's not my Indian. It's, as I say, Yisrael Salanta said many years into his marriage as follows. When we got married, in the Yichud room already, I said, there's going to be no fights in our marriage. No fights. There's his new wife. Why? I said, Mefur Shigamara. The Gemara is in Masechta Yevamos. When does a wife have a final say, and when does a husband? In Mili Dishmaya, the husband, heavenly matters. And Mili the Alma, Mili the Besa, in worldly and domestic, the household matters, then the woman is in charge. So he said, Rebbe, so is it true that you never had any arguments since you were married? He said, you've been arguing every single day. He said with a smile, why? I think it's Mila Dishmaya, and she thinks it's Mila the Alma. All right? But Mila the Besa, that's for sure how you, where you put the plow pot. The way you, so I may have no opinion in the matter, but you can't say that. You have to have an opinion. Fully expect you to do the opposite of your opinion. That's okay. But you have to have an opinion, because if you don't have an opinion, you don't have much of it at all. Right? So she's, you're sitting and learning, right? You're sitting and learning. Baruch Hashem Basmada. So your wife's not matching what you're doing? That would be terrible. So if you're not matching what she's doing, whether it be her professional studies, or whether it be her career, or her taking care of the house, you have to be matching what she is doing. That's such an important thing. Such an important thing. Critical. As he puts it, Chalila, chalila, to be a controlling husband, totalitarian, and enforcing your will with anger. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. You say your opinions, and you respect your wife. Says the Gemara Yevam Besanach Beis and Beis. A man to be Oava Kegufo U'mechabda Yosef Migufo. What does Yosef Migufo mean? Because the Zilusa the Isha Koshim B'degavra. What does that mean? Her sense of shame, she's not dressed properly, adorned properly, is greater than that of a man. So for example, Gemara has a Baba Kama Mona Mechabdusa. Let's say you have in your bank account $200. That's your disposable income for right now. And the two choices, you buy a new suit or she buys a new dress. It's a no-brainer. She buys a new dress and you stay with the old suit. That's the Gemara. The Gemara for Reshus. Keep that in mind. I tell my Chassana much more than that. I'll tell you now up front. Because one of the fights that couples have is over money. Unfortunately. Right. Money. How do you resolve fights over money? So I'm telling it to you now, listen to it. If you come with your kala before you get married, I will say the same thing again in her presence, and she should hear it. There are only 6 words that I have about money, which every chassid kala can hear. This is how my view of the way the Torah understands money in the proper situation. And the 6 words are, he earns it, she spends it. That's it. Those are the 6 words. There's never any fights in my house. Because I try to keep to these 6 words, finished. The husband has an obligation to earn the livelihood. Not that he sits all day and learns and she has to scurry for a living. That's some modern kind of a thing. The husband's supposed to make a living. All right. At the beginning, if he's supported because he's sitting and learning, or he could be learning Gemara, he could be learning medicine. Whatever it is, you're not making a big living right away. Yeah, figure out how to handle it. But at the end of the day, it's the husband's responsibility to earn a livelihood. It's a big suba. Eflach, I'm going to go to work. And the Ezel and the Farnis, they have to feed and support. Aside from cherishing. She spends it. Rabosai, as long as your wife is responsible, I won't give you a brother, she'll marry a responsible woman, and she knows how to add, okay? Give her control of the finances. Let her write the checks. Let her balance the accounts. Let her do everything. You can spend more time learning daf yomi. Whatever happens, whatever your lima is going to be, let her do it. What do you need it for? Why must you be in control of money? What do you need it for? You'll be multi-millionaires. Whatever money you have, you have your check go in what they call automatic deposit, go straight to the bank, and your wife will take care of all paying all your bills. She'll decide what you have to buy, and shalom by Yisrael. That's mechab Yosef Yosef. What's all about Kigufo? You always have to feel for her. Feel her pain. Feel her joy. Feel her... That's what it means. He quotes the Rambam. In Perek, Tezvav, in Ishus. Halacha Yutes. What does the Rambam say? He quotes a part. V'lo yatil eima yusera. Chas v'shalom. For a man to make his wife afraid of him. I can tell you, I was involved once, this was more than 20 years ago, with a couple like this, and she wanted, after long, she said, I had enough, I'm out of here. He said to her, in my presence, huh, but I only hit you once. Of course, do you understand what that means? You only have to do it once. Once you do it, means a chalila v'chash, she's in the rest of her life, and figure doing it again. Chas v'shalom. It's unthinkable. Can't do it once. It's unthinkable. It can never happen. Never ever. There's a book which was put up by Rabbi Abraham J. Twersky. One of his many, many books. This one was banned in Brooklyn. I kid you not. It's called The Shame Born in Silence. It's about wife beating in the Orthodox community. And the Brooklyn sword banned it. They said, it can't happen here. I got a pre-publication copy, a typescript. Oh, does it happen here? Oh, boy. Can't do it even once. That was the We learned about it in that that session. I believe Rabbi Nachman Twersky addressed it, and Rabbi Weiner addressed it. But this is still a psychologist and living in Baltimore, and a Rav, about a certain cycle that the woman who's hit is almost happy she's hit. Now she has to be afraid of being hit. The terror of being hit is worse than the being hit. It's a whole Torah out there. You don't have to be a PhD in psychology to figure it out. Rachman al-Islam. A whole life living in terror and fear. Cannot be. Absolutely cannot be. Cannot be. Cannot be. A man, says the Rambam, below via dibura imo benachas. Talk to her softly. Don't ever yell. Don't raise your voice. Rabosa, you're not allowed to raise your voice towards an Eish Yisrael. It's not permissible. It's prohibited. Rambam says so. The same Rambam. We went to Rambam. We follow the Rambam, don't we? We always look, we have the whole end mishmah in the back. What does the Rambam say? What does the Rambam say? All of a sudden, everyone, what's the only kid that the Rambam says over here? Rambam said it. Lo v'yedivura imo benachas. Talk, don't raise your voice. As soon as you hear sometimes a man starting to yell at his wife, you want to run the other way? Lo yeya otzev. Below Ragzon. You may not be sad and not be angry. That's an incredible, incredible line over here. The Bar said, if you're single, get all the sadness and the anger out of your systems now. Because once you become married, you can't be sad anymore. What's wrong? Why can't I be sad? Very pashut why. If you're sad now, it's terrible. Ivdu Hashem b'simcha. Atzvus is terrible. Okay? Terrible for you. If you're sad after your marriage, you're a chav l'cherim. You're making your wife feel bad. You're not allowed to be sad. Lo yeh ragzon doesn't mean you shouldn't be angry at her. You shouldn't be angry at all. You're angry because of what happened at work. Okay, you're fuming, you're seething. Okay? Very good. That's on the subway on the way home. And when you come to the front door, you suddenly go like this. Put on your best smile. And I go say, hi. You have to be an actor sometimes if marriage requires a good acting profile. Are you really angry because your boss yelled at you or gave you a demotion or who knows what? But it doesn't matter. Why is your wife's fault? She has to be in a good mood. So now I'll be angry. That's what Shteyt and Rambam. It's important to note that the Rambam did not say the same about a woman. He'll say it's not fair. I'm allowed to yell at my wife, she's allowed to yell at me. The answer is yes. Rambam did not say that a woman's not permitted to yell at her husband in exasperation and frustration. Obviously, we don't want it on a regular basis. To the contrary, the woman is supposed to treat her husband, the Rambam says the very next halacha, kimo sar o melech. Sar o melech. I'm not afraid to say it, even in today's world of so-called political correctness. That's what a woman's supposed to treat her husband like a prince and like a king. Following what he likes, his likes, avoiding his dislikes, as we said before. Doesn't say that she can't be sad. Doesn't say she can't be angry. Doesn't even say she has to speak so softly to him. The different responsibilities. Not only that, but a man should realize that his wife will likely be sad. One by one, the test. La'olam ye adam zayir ba'onas ishto shemitok shedim asa mitzuya ona asa krova. Because she's more given to tears. Unfortunately, one can easily chalila b'chas tease her or somehow distress her even with words on Noah's Dvarim. A very, very chosheh Rosh Hashiva was at one point a recent chosen, and he was visited or he met Rav David Lifshitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. We were too young to have known Rav David Lifshitz, so one of the great tzadik who taught in Yeshiva for many decades. So David wished him a mazel tov, and he told him three more words, which shocked this person. He was a young kohen. And he said to her, he said to this young man who had a wonderful wife, Zivet Veinin. Anyone know any Yiddish in this room? Nobody. She will cry. I was shocked. He just married this Eishet Chayil, a daughter of a great Talmud Chacham herself. And she's seems to be completely unflappable and talented and on the ball and great. And Erev Dov is promising him she's going to cry. Well, took him a while to figure out what Rav Dov was saying. Of course she's going to cry. Gemara said so. Mitoch shedemosa mitzuya onasa krova. This crying could be related to certain hormonal changes. The women, you know, have different, there's PMS, and then there's this postpartum, and there's pregnancy, and all kinds of other things. Stop! He went out these things. She's more given to tears, as the Gemara says. And what this Rav Lipsh was telling this Rav, don't view it as a chesaron in your wife. Why, am I a crybaby? No, you're married a woman. Woman means demasa mitzuya. Rabbi Sai, keep this in mind. These are critical things to understand. Critical. Absolutely critical. So important. So important. Mechab the yosim miguf means you honor your wife more than you honor yourself. Not just buying her clothes and you wear the same old suit. Much more than that. You give her respect. You give her respect. You cannot be angry at her. If you get angry at her, you're not respecting her. What? She'll feel like a maid in the house. I'm a maid. You dare not control your wife's activities. There are those who try to control their wife's purse strings. That's unbelievable. I had a case, unbelievable case. The man made a living, and he brought the paychecks. And he wouldn't give his wife money to buy groceries for the children because she didn't do something. He's like, I'm a sugar. And I got a phone call from her. I can't pay my grocery bill because my husband won't give me any money because he's angry I did something. What is he? Like a child, even an allowance? What is this? What is this? That's control. A controlling husband is an abusive husband. I'm sorry to say it. We call that financial abuse. And it's emotional abuse. You treat it like a piece of dirt. Verbal abuse. You say nasty things to her. All these things I've seen, it's terrible. Terrible. It's just an impossible situation. I would hope that no Talmud of mine would ever, chalila v'chas, be abusive in any which way towards an Eishes Chayil. Now, in the home, I said before, the husband should be the Rav Beveso. Your wife could be more knowledgeable than you in Torah matters. It could happen. Maybe she learned Gemara, maybe she learned other parts of Torah, whatever. Doesn't matter. You're the Rav Beveso. Come to the Shabbos table, you say it about Torah. Not some fancy pupil in a Torah that she won't understand. No. I turn on the Parsha Shavua. Oh, I should waste my time with Parsha Shavua. What are you, crazy? Not a waste of time. First, we have a chuyut l'chumash and Rashi every single week, I told you. There's enough just l'chumash and Rashi to discuss over the Shabbos table for many, many years. Many, many years. Just understand what Torah, HaKadosh, and Rashi HaKadosh are teaching us. It's very, very important. Very important. And here I have this frightening statement to share with you. I feel that's my rights to share with you. Rav Chaim Vital, the Gedolei Hador, everyone knows this, Gizal school, unbelievable Gaon. I'm reading to you a quotation. Midosav shel adam nimdados ach v'rak kifi yachas ha'olishta. The person is judged, all depends how he treated his wife. Kloma. Adam ha'osek b'gmilus chasadim ha'mon ha'noshim. He's a tremendous baal chesed. Malva gives out gemach. Nosen gives out stokka. Mevak acholim visits the sick. Menachem avelim goes comforts the bereaved. Misamechos of akala. Ah, bevada yischak liomachem biyovoes pekudoso. When he passes away and goes to Shemayim, he will be rewarded amply for all of his good deeds. Kizechuyos rabos al b'masal chesed. So far, so good, right? Listen to the punchline. Avoyeda nemana. Should know well. Kiva shamayim botkim echisnagim ishto. They check out before giving you any morsel of reward how to treat your wife. Im gam imo gomal chesed kol yomo. If he treated her kindly as well, ashra v'tovlo. Then he gets reward not only for taking care of his wife, but for all the other chasen that he's done. Ach. Im osa hiknit, if he teased her, v'izniach, and in effect abandoned her, didn't pay attention to her, b'veso kos, he got angry at her in the house, and I know too many people outside it, Mr. Nice, but behind closed doors, it's a shrek, it's terrible. You hear about it only from the, only know, it's a deep dark secret, only the family knows about it. Seems like a very nice fellow, and you find he's been abusing his wife and maybe even his kids. For decades, Rachman al-Islam, v'hikpid l'lo racham, he was a captain, there was no mercy, l'lo chesed, wasn't kind to his wife, when the CSO didn't share a burden in raising the family, zeh machriya ezdino, this tips the scales in his judgment. And look at the next phrase, v'lo yizachru lo me'uma, nothing will be remembered for him. Mikol chasodov she'osa emacher. All the chesed he did will not be even remembered. That's not fair. First, that's not fair. The person will be punished for mistreating his wife, then he'll be rewarded for all the other kindness that he did. I'll answer you like by terrorists to that question. He didn't do those kind deeds because he was so kind. He did it to get out of the house. We know too many people who are very active in community affairs. Because they just can't stay home. That could be because of the wife sometimes, unfortunately. But it could also be because the husband has absolutely no understanding of compassion, of support, of kindness towards the woman who is taking care of his home and his children. And therefore, even the goodies that you did are attributed to your desire to run away from home, abandon your responsibilities, and then do stuff and say, charity begins at home! American expression. What it means is, take care of your own. Famous story is told of the grandson of the Chafetz Chaim, who was a Talmud in the, in Lakewood Yeshiva, if I'm not mistaken. And he wasn't coming to Shacharis, he was in the Kollel. And the Mashgiach came to his house, came to him in the Beis Medrash to complain. Where are you? You're not in Shacharis. You know, he says to the Mashgiach, there's a woman, and she's burdened with at home with many children, and she's unable to take care of the children herself, and she can't get them all dressed, she can't get them all fed, and she can't get them all taken care of in the morning before they have to go to the cheder. So I feel it's in my rachas, I have to go help her. So the mashgiach goes, oh, where's this woman? I want to help too. He says, it's my wife. He was saying, it's important to go to the minyan in the yeshiva, very nice, but not in your wife's cheshbon. The story of the late Rav Gifter, Zichrono Livracha, who once learned in our yeshiva many years ago. Rav Gifter was once approached by a woman in his, whatever they call it, yeshiva lane, or whatever they call it there in Cleveland, who said, my husband, I don't understand, he thinks he's such a big Talmud Chacham, he has no time to help me out with the basics. Like, what? Let him take out the garbage. Okay. Next day, there's a knock on the door. Who's there? Mordechai Gifter. So the guy gets all the curbs. Oh. Shiva, what? Hold on. I just came to take out the garbage. Oh. I want to dig himself a hole. Rabbi said, there's nothing that you that's somehow beneath your dignity. Your wife can do it? There are men I know who've never changed the diaper of their children. Or the others I know, they'll only change the diaper if it's just wet, not if it's dirty. I mean, let my wife dirty her hands. What are you, crazy? What do you think, your wife is a maid? She dirties her hands and you only selective diaper changing? What are you, who do you think you are? You're not a parent? You have to do, yes, I'm sorry, the dirty work. You have full achrayus. Sometimes a baby gets up in the middle of the night and you sleep through. For real, not just fake it out. You really sleep through and your wife gets up. Okay. Someone will wake up the husbands every time they're late. Okay, I'm not advocating that. But if you get up and your wife doesn't, she's completely zonked because she's been up half the night before. Get up, hear the baby cries, take care of the baby, which means change the baby, feed, whatever you have to. But I never did it before. Learn how to do it. These are the achrayos, and that a person tov le'is le'gever yisa ol benurav. The Kodesh Baruch Hu blesses you with a wife and blesses you with a child. These are your responsibilities. Ol isho banim. Don't chalila be an absentee father and then leave all the headaches on your wife. No. Yeah, got to work, okay, but within reason, you have to be there for her when she needs you. Volby has over here about the string called the purse strings. Habal shalek bakupa v'nos in the ishto b'tzimtzum otzas abayis. He doesn't tell his wife where the money is. They get a private bank account which he doesn't know about. Chas v'shalom. He says it's chas v'shalom anytime. What happens if she's making the money? He's the kohel. He's the kohel. He makes nothing. She makes all the money, and he doesn't tell her where the money is. It's a joke. Meguchach, as he says. Even if she's not working, you have to consult her. I go, but she controls all the money. She puts over here as follows, parentheses. Ima ish eno madaf limsor en yone aksofim kulam liarishto. That's what you should do. You can rely upon her. That's what I do. Give her the money. Let her control everything. My wife is nice enough. I do have a credit card. My wife gave me a credit card. And she doesn't restrain me from using it when I have to use it. But I don't use it too much. I use it mostly to go when she gets me to go shopping. So I swipe the credit card. The gas station. Well, boy side. These are the brachas that we have. Brachas over here. Very, very important. This is a house. This is a house, a household. Remember, a yeshiva bacha, when he's single, what house? He's in the dorm. In the dorm, he hangs out with his friends. It's a great time. Yeah, he goes to his parents, his relatives, to his friends. Yeah, no more, gentlemen. Once you get married, your center is your own private home where only you and your wife live. You're no longer by yourself. Yes, you have to take care of parents on both sides. It's another source of terrible strife in marriages. In-laws. Parents and in-laws. I spoke about it in Share last year in Lawrence. Who came? Whoever came had gray hair. It was all the people who were, I guess most of the Shabbi were now gray hair. So there were people who were Baruch Hashem grandparents and wrestling with how do they deal with their children who are now parents. And I told them how. Don't give advice. Don't give advice. Don't tell your children how to raise their children. You made mistakes, let them make their mistakes. Even if you're consulted, be sparse. Don't say too much. Parents who meddle in the lives of their of their children when they raise their own children is a terrible thing? Parents who meddle and want their children to do their bidding, I'll give you two examples. I gave those two examples then. One, naming children. It was an incredible battle that just happened now. To name a baby after... You can't tell you to name your baby after my father, after my father, after my mother. What a craziness. Children make their own decisions as to how to name their own children. Now, they should be aware of the fact that, number one, if you're Ashkenazi, you don't name after the living. A case where the woman wants to name after the living, you know, name after her grandmother who died when the other grandmother had the same name. You can't do your thing. That's she's Merchel. You can't. But aside from that, you can name any name you want. Now, I don't like these new modern names. Crazy names. What's wrong with the old names? The old names. The Chazal said we name after those who came before. There are enough beautiful names in Tanakh and in Chazal to create new names. But you raise your children. And you tell them that, but once you're out of your house, they do whatever they want. And if you want the name that they give, this is too bad. You didn't do a good job raising them. Don't tell them what to do. And the second one, where children go for Yontif. Oh my goodness. World War III. They go to the Seder here, the Seder. How about you put pressure on your children? It's unfair. You're hurting their Shalom Bayis. My children know they can come whenever they want, and they never have to come. Open door. They never have to come, ever. And here's my last point. When you get married, it's you and your wife. That's it. That's the integral unit. Everybody else on the outside, including your parents. I've met more than once. I remember right here in the Heights not long ago. It was a crisis. I met with a comrade of mine and his wife and his parents. And the poor fellow was being put between a rock and a hard place, between his parents and his wife. So I said, you can't do this. You're intelligent parents. Yeah, but our daughter is not doing this properly. Stop. You made your mistakes, she'll make her mistakes, and shalom. It took a few hours to get my message across. Baruch Hashem, I hope they made a little bit more peace. It's very, very important. Al kein yazov ish es ove ves imo v'dovak v'ishto. You do not share intimate matters with your parents. Chalila. Parents have such nosy bodies. They introduce themselves as if they have no business. You got to tell them in a nice way. You have no business. I meant some maisa. I am extremely. You shouldn't listen to Eitzes Tovus of people. If you have a problem, go to a professional. Or a Baal Eitzah who's famous, go to a Rebbe. Don't go to parents. It's a disaster. If you have secret things, keep them secret. You don't reveal everything that you and your wife know to other people, even your own parents. I'll end with the story. The story is too good to end with this. We finished the first two shmuz in here, or the Sikha Shlishis. Lean at it, we'll try to finish it. This is important stuff. It's more important than a Mishnah Berurah and a Rambam and a Ran. This is your life. Every word. Take notes. Okay? This story happened. This is an unbelievable story. We'll get to it later. I speak to Hassan about it. That I do not believe in contraception upon marriage. I think it's terrible for many reasons. Not maybe a different time we'll talk about it. So, someone came to me and I said, I gave him my stand-up son. I got an irate call from the father of this woman. I don't know how he got involved in this, but I guess, I don't know, it just feels... Is it true that you told this couple that... I said, yes. I'm going to tell them, what's your business? You're marrying her off. She has a husband. She says to me, are you willing to accept financial responsibility for a baby that's going to be born? How did they come? That's the only thing. Baruch Hashem, they got married. They had a child right away. Once the grandfather held that bubbling little baby, he melted like all grandparents and parents do. And hopefully they'll live happily ever after. Parents have no business butting into the reproductive life of their children. They're ridiculous. And you have to sometimes be able to tell the parents, it's very hard, you know. It's between my wife and myself. I can't discuss it. And he said, why not? Blame it on me. He said, Rabbi Willard, said, I'm not allowed to discuss. I can call some parents like that. What do you mean? I'm happy to take it and get you out of the jam. On both sides, our time is up. We have a shiur downstairs by the holy chief rabbi. I want to say I know him personally. He's a major Talmud Chacham and an ish tzaddik. So I advise you to come right where we sit. It's going to be a telecast. We have the best seats in the house. So let's get down quickly and take our seats. A good Shabbat. Sunday night.